Okay, good morning, good morning. Happy Sunday to everyone. And today is kind of a special day, and I use the word special because it's special. thank you so much, Lynn and Lewis, for that wonderful morning that we have every Sunday morning with you. Yes, I use the word special. Today is the beginning of our new schedule here. I'm on the first Sunday morning of every month. It's a new schedule. And so I'm not on until the first Sunday of September again. And today is also August 2nd, the first Sunday of the month. And it's also Regina Dawn Aker's birthday. And so I'm going to say we're going to maybe use this next few minutes as we turn this mic on over to Lynn to play some music, maybe appropriate, whatever it is, to not only use this time to send your love and your blessings to any and all that are gathered, and maybe those people who are listening in on the radio will send their love and blessings, and we're glad to receive it, but also maybe use this time to wish Regina a wonderful happy birthday, for we are all here, because literally Regina has brought us all together in awakening together. So turning this mic over to you, Lynn, for that music, and I'll be back shortly. Please use this time to send your love, your warmth, your light, your laughter. Thank you so much for that, Lynn, and thank you all for the warm love, both sent and shared and received. And on behalf of Suzanne, who wanted me to mention that she sends you a happiest, loving, warm birthday greetings from both Suzanne and I. Thank you so much, Regina. And actually, I was going to mention, I'm not sure if I have the the right number, but let's see. Yes, I did ask Barb DeWater, our admin. Thank you so much, Barb. And she tells me that right now, Awakening Together has 491 members, and it's so beautiful. We started here just about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, and so happy that we're just about at that 500 number, 491 members. Thank you so much, Regina, for putting together such a beautiful, beautiful Awakening Together organization. Okay. Speaking about Awakening Together, what is our purpose? And our purpose is we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. I think that says so much right in that first sentence. Equals joined in common purpose. And only purpose has meaning. We all share the same purpose. Awakening to one true self. Awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Thank you so much. Wonderful purpose, which was really a consensus of so many that came together in Colorado to put together the purpose of Awakening Together and its core values. That was about 2 years ago. Maybe I could have been maybe losing track of time. I think it was in 2013. I think it was, yeah. And the core value that I selected of the five core values. Thank you so much, Barb, for putting up the purpose and the core value links. And if you're listening on the radio, all you have to do is go to awakening-together.org, and the first thing on the menu bar is about, and just go to purpose and values, and you'll see everything we're speaking about. And there are five core values, and I'm choosing the first one. We trust, big word, trust, everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is the realization of one true self. Awakening to one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. So true, so true. There are so many paths, and all that we can do is love our brother as ourselves to support whatever path they are on, for we are all sharing the same purpose, which is awakening together. Came to me this week is, what does awakening, the word awakening and together, have in common? And the answer came to me, everything. Awakening and together are really the same. We awaken when we recognize and realize that we are together as one. We are together as one. Okay, we have a few announcements. Let me see what I can do with the announcements, and thank you so much for bringing this to my attention. Let's see. Do I have this in correct order? Yeah. We're still looking to raise funds for our retreat center in Pueblo, near Pueblo, Colorado. We're excited to acquire a place where we can all go for periods of respite, inspiration, and spiritual realization. We envision a retreat center that offers special events such as workshops and satsangs, as well as being available for personal retreats designed by your inner calling. We hope to provide a library, outdoor meditation garden, walking paths, indoor chapel, comfortable rooms, and healthy meals for a reasonable cost. Scholarships will also be available. There's a lovely property available right now. It's a 37-acre farm within the Spanish Peaks region, just south of Pueblo, Colorado. Native American schoolie, and there's a compelling energy that draws you in as one you get closer and closer to these magnificent peaks in this Spanish Peaks region of Colorado. The farm comes with a fence garden. The farm comes with a fence garden, lovely acreage for walking and meditating, a gorgeous home with solar panels, a large gatherings and retreats. It's the perfect opportunity and well-priced at only $399,000, including the acreage. We are asking for donations now. We have a lot of money to raise, but if everyone participates, we could raise enough money to acquire this lovely property. It really is perfect for us. If you'd like to look at the listing, check Awakening Together News under four members on the Awakening Together website. Again, the website is awakening-together.org. Okay, another announcement here. Registrations are heating up for the Awakening Together Fall Retreat in late October and early November. We're getting several registrations a week now. Remember, you can register for Jan Frazier or for Regina Dornacres and Bettino Massaro separately. You can register for one of them, two, or all three. There's space for about 40 people at the retreat center. However, once those spaces are gone, you can still register. I'll repeat that. However, once those spaces are gone, you can still register. There are several hotels within 3 miles. You can stay at nearby hotel and pay the commuter rate for the retreat. However, if you want to stay at the retreat center, be sure to register soon. You can find full details on the Awakening Together website under events. So there's a menu bar at the top of the homepage at Awakening Together, and one of the menu items is events. And good news, Reverend Tony Ponticello, who sponsors along with the Course in Miracles Center in San Francisco, the Course in Miracles retreat, this conference coming up in Las Vegas next April. He's keeping the price at the pre-launch price of $449. So if you haven't registered yet, please get your tickets soon while the price is still $449. And some of the speakers of the conference, of course, are Regina Dornacres, Jennifer Hadley, John Mark Hammer, who's going to be new here at the conference, first time for him at the conference, David Hoffmeister, John Mundy, Mary Perrone, first time for her, Earl Raj Purdy, James Twyman, first time for Jimmy Twyman, and many more. I'll be there too, co-presenting with Veronica Gabrielle LeBarry, and you can get full details about how to register at the pre-launch price at the Awakening Together website under events. And when you register, please tell them that you were inspired to attend by Awakening Together. It's helpful in bringing financial funds into Awakening Together to do the work that we are all doing here together. Okay. And I was truly inspired. I realized that I'll be on this Sunday. I didn't realize it until Friday night when the schedule was told to me that the new schedule, I'll be on the first Sunday of every month. And I said, well, okay, I'll be here this Sunday, and Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, listen, the lesson for today, lesson 214, which is the review lesson of 194, which is one of my real favorite lessons in the entire course, and it's one of the last 20 final lessons in part one, and as the author of A Course in Miracles says, any one of those final 20 lessons is the entire course. And the one that is today's lesson, review lesson number 214, is also the review of 194. And I remember a few years back, or maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I happened to mention here in this room that many years ago, while listening to Ken Wapnick, I realized that, you know, things are so perfect in this world. What's the possibility that everyone was born on the day of the lesson that they were born first to learn the lesson for themselves and then to teach it. And I remember Regina Dornaker says, well, what lesson is that? And I said, well, you know, lesson for August 2nd, today's date, is lesson 214, which is review 194. And she read it and she says, this is so perfect for me. And I think everyone who knows Regina knows that it's absolutely perfect. I place the future in the hands of God, and knowing that she is fully guided all the time, because that's what you do when you place the future in the hands of God. You rely totally on Spirit, totally on Spirit. You get your guidance from Spirit. You get yourself out of the way, and you are perfectly guided. So she said, this is perfect for me. So we came up yesterday, Saturday afternoon, I sent an email to Regina. I said, Regina, are you open to being the reader this morning for the lesson that you were born to teach? And she said, yes. One word answer, yes. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Regina Dornaker. And I said that you're really free to read it and comment and do anything you want with this lesson. Thank you so much, Regina. This mic is all yours.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dove. It was very sweet of you to invite me to be the reader today for my birthday lesson. What a wonderful birthday gift. And to not only read, but to allow commentary to come as well. So I appreciate that also. I will start, I guess, by reading the review lesson, which is today's lesson, and then I will go to 194. Today's lesson, lesson 214. I am not a body. I am free. For I am still as God created me. I place the future in the hands of God. The past is gone. The future is not yet. Now I am freed from both. For what God gives can only be for good. And I accept but what He gives as what belongs to me. I am not a body. I am free. For I am still as God created me. And so again, that's a review of lesson 194, I place the future in the hands of God. And I'm not going to read all of 194, I'm going to read three of my favorite paragraphs. First, I'll read paragraph one. Today's idea takes another step toward quick salvation, and a giant stride it is indeed. So great the distance is that it encompasses. It sets you down just short of heaven, with the goal in sight and obstacles behind. Your foot has reached the lawns that welcome you to heaven's gate, the quiet place of peace, where you await with certainty the final step of God. How far are we progressing now from earth? How close are we approaching to our goal? How short the journey still to be pursued? Now I'm skipping to paragraph four. God holds your future as He holds your past and present. They are one to Him. And so they should be one to you. And yet, in this world, the temporal progression still seems real. And so you are not asked to understand the lack of sequence in time. You are but asked to let the future go and place it in God's hands. And you will see by your experience that you have laid the past and present in His hands as well. Because the past will punish you no more, and future dread will now be meaningless. And now I'm skipping to paragraph six. If you can see the lesson for today as the deliverance it really is, you will not hesitate to give as much consistent effort as you can to make it be a part of you. As it becomes a thought that rules your mind, a habit in your problem-solving repertoire, a way of quick reaction to temptation, you extend your learning to the world. And as you learn to see salvation in all things, so will the world perceive that it is saved. And now I'm skipping to paragraph 8. Place then your future in the hands of God, for thus you call the memory of him to come again, replacing all your thoughts of sin and evil with the truth of love. Think you the world could fail to gain thereby, enter not respond with healed perception? Who entrusts himself to God has also placed the world within the hands to which he himself has appealed for comfort and security. He lays aside the sick illusions of the world along with his and offers peace to both. I'll go ahead and read paragraph 9 in closing. Now we are saved indeed, for in God's hands we rest untroubled, sure that only good can come to us. If we forget, we will be gently reassured. If we accept an unforgiving thought, it will soon be replaced by love's reflection. And if we are tempted to attack, we will appeal to him who guards our rest to make the choice for us that leaves temptation far behind. No longer is the world our enemy, for we have chosen that we be its friends. I'm currently reading a new book, and the book is called The Surrender Experiment, and it's by Michael Singer, who wrote The Untethered Soul. And it's really the story of how he decided to let go of the personality by letting life tell him what to do. The surrender experiment. He surrendered his own likes and dislikes and let life tell him what to do. He starts off with his spiritual path with a spontaneous awakening, a spontaneous shift. And then that causes him to become very, very interested in going deeper and deeper and deeper into that shift and abiding fully in that shift. And what he first attempts to do, I would say, is to control the world by making the world go away or get out of his way so that he could spend all of his time in meditation and yoga. And it's interesting because although the world does allow him some time for meditation and yoga, the world will not get out of his way so that he can spend all of his time in meditation and yoga, which is what he wants to do. And in this case, I want to say he, the personality. He later calls it the spiritual self-concept. You know, the world keeps calling him back, you know, through people insisting that he finish his doctoral degree, insisting that he teach, insisting that other people live near him and move about around him so that he's not completely alone like he wants to be. And somehow he keeps struggling against the world's interference in his alone time, and he keeps struggling to try and achieve this alone time, and yet it doesn't happen. And then one night he has a dream. And in his dream, he's going into a cave, and he's going deeper and deeper and deeper into this cave. And he understood this cave to be the deep within that occurs during meditation. And so he was going deeper and deeper within this cave. And then he comes to this point where he can see the light. And so he starts making his way up towards the light. And when he gets there, there's a locked gate, and he can't get through the locked gate to the light. And in the dream, he says, well, then I'll just have to find another way. And he turns around and exits the cave. But what he came to discover was that that other way was surrender. It's not that he gave up meditation, because as I mentioned, life was giving him some time for meditation. In fact, he found that in the morning and in the evening, twice a day, there was definitely time given for that meditation. That meditation was an important part of his spiritual path. But he quit trying to fight and control for alone time and meditation all of the time. And he decided instead to surrender to life. He also calls it a path of service. Surrender in the path of service. And what was really interesting was, like many things of him, that his spiritual self-concept did not want to do, including starting a business, building and remodeling homes. And he noticed that his mind is always struggling against the things that life asks him to do, and explaining maybe that it wasn't the most spiritual choice, for example. That he would rather be alone. And he learned to recognize that energy of resistance, even if that energy of resistance was speaking with a spiritual self-concept. And he just chose, whenever that energy of resistance to life arose, really to do the opposite, to do whatever that energy of resistance was telling him not to do. So if the energy of resistance was telling him not to start a business, that would just interfere, you know, but he recognized that chatter of ego, even though it was sounding very spiritual, not to start a business, that would just interfere with his meditation time, blah, 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 but it had that energy of resistance, then he would start the business in the energy of surrender. To me, that is a perfect example of placing the future in the hands of God. I think that especially when our ego gets very spiritual sounding in its words, we cease to notice it is just the spiritual ego. But if we step into that place of surrender, that space of not listening to the chatter of my mind, no matter what the chatter is saying, that space of every time I recognize that energy, I surrender away from it, surrender in the opposite direction. I think we can feel the rightness in that. Every time we let go of the self-concept, whether it's the worldly self-concept or the spiritual self-concept, we can letting go. That letting go is what this path is all about. So placing the future in the hands of God is really about letting go of that voice of resistance, letting go of that chatter, letting go of that ego now. Always now. It's always now. We have to have no ideas about what is in our best interest, not even spiritual ideas about what is in our best interest. Let life unfold and trust life as our guru. Again, our focus is always in the present moment, letting go of the ego. I just want to read to you one quote that I've been contemplating for a month or more now. It's from a woman named Elise Morgan. And actually, when I say it's from her, it was spoken to her by her inner wisdom. So it would be like the voice in NTI was the voice of wisdom speaking to me. This is actually the voice of wisdom speaking to her. So it's her writings. And this is what the voice said to her. To be true, to be one-pointed, must be your aim and desire. You are forming your own future in me now. I read that again. To be true, to be one-pointed, must be your aim and desire. You are forming your own future in me now. So again, we don't need to think about the future. We need to be focused on the now. Letting go of ego now, right? And the future will unfold in that vein. letting go of ego now. And as a short example, one of the things I've been doing for the last several weeks, since about early May, is starting a regular meditation routine. And one thing I have found to be completely impossible is uninterrupted time alone for any length of time. There are just too many people and too many dogs in my house. It just doesn't happen. And this morning, Danielle left yesterday for a trip, so this morning, not only were there two dogs in the house, but I'm responsible for both dogs now, not just one. And so I sat on the porch with the two dogs, and I began my meditation time. And there was all kinds for a whole hour. Every time somebody went by, there was barking. There was one point where the dogs decided they didn't want to be outside anymore. They wanted to go inside, and they started tapping on the glass. There was, one dog jumped on me, and I'm in a swinging seat, so my swing starts swinging back and forth while this dog is jumping on me while I'm meditating. And what I felt to do was just to allow everything to be as it is, knowing that nothing could disturb my meditation. No attempts at control, no asking the dogs to be quiet, no asking someone else to take care of the dogs while I meditate. Just sit and be for an hour and let the world be without me. It seems the less of me in the world, the better. That doesn't mean I won't take action. Like in this moment, I'm taking action. I'm speaking. But that didn't come from that future planning mind. It doesn't come from attempting to control for specific outcomes. My job is to be as little as possible and at some point hopefully disappear completely. But until then, to be as little as possible. In fact, listen to another quote from Elise Morgan. Be simple, quiet, and hear the voice speaking in the heart. Walk close to the reality of humble nothingness. Let me read that one again. Be simple, quiet, and hear the voice speaking in the heart. Walk close to the reality of humble nothingness. Again, my job is to make sure there is as little of me as there can possibly be. That is placing the future in the hands of God. Thank you, Doug, for letting me share.
Wow. Thank you so much, Regina. I know that we all feel so blessed here on your birthday. And I know it was Holy Spirit that certainly arranged this. There was absolutely no accident that the idea of asking you to be here to share here on this, your birthday lesson, I placed the future in the hands of God, was really meant to be. Yeah, all things happen perfectly. This was certainly meant to be. There's a word really from Judaism called Beshert, which is, it's meant to be. Perfect, exactly the way it is. Beshert. And that's pretty much what today's lesson, what today's topic is. I place the future in the hands of God. And, you know, so many places it's just telling you that that's what trust is. You know, of the 10 characteristics of the teachers, the only one that we are responsible for is the number one, or trust. And it says this can take a very long, long time. What gets in the way is all the things that Regina was speaking about, all the things that come up with, you think that you have to rearrange and you have to control or to get things out of the way. It's funny that Regina mentioned that, the last thing that she mentioned, somebody just yesterday, Peter DeBott, from one of our members on Open Minds for ACIM and NTI, wrote the following: happiness is not about more God, but lesser you. Lesser you. Yeah, what we're really doing is getting our little small self out of the way, and that's not really easy. I was listening to your story, Regina, on, first of all, the new book by Michael Singer, and certainly I totally understand the idea. What I want to set some time aside for meditation and yoga, and doesn't ever seem to be enough time in the day. I'm very glad many years ago, before I ever really heard about Course in Miracles, I heard about Tibetan Buddhism out of taking the Bodhisattva oath, which I did do just about the same time I found the Course. And Tibetan Buddhism actually uses what's called open-eye meditation, from the recognition that everything here is a meditation. That you don't have to close your eyes or find a sacred place or something quiet or anything. Whatever is going on is a lesson that God would have me learn. As you were speaking, Regina, Suzanne, with my wife listening here, said, yeah, that's exactly what it is. We actually learn from all the relationships we have, the two dogs, the two kids, and we just added a dog in our household, and he doesn't bark, he doesn't whine, but he does a lot of licking, likes to jump up into my lap, and always seems to jump up just when I don't want him to jump up. And it's really about accepting things exactly the way they are. Let all things be exactly as they are. That's what total surrender is. So whenever we say, you know, God is the strength in which I trust, that's Suzanne's mantra lesson, God is the strength in which I trust, you know, we're really not even talking about, you know, the word God has so many different meanings to so many different people, so many different paths. It doesn't matter what path you're on. We're talking about the universal force of love itself. I am not a body. I am free. I am still as love created me. That everything in this world really finds its source is love. Now you might say, yeah, but the Course says the world wasn't created by God. Oh yeah, it's, you know, made by the Son of God, but anything that the Son of God touches still comes from the source of love, comes from the source of truth. It's who your interpreter is. It's who your interpreter, who is your teacher that you're selecting. The only mistake that the Son of God ever made was he chose a teacher of fear. It says, well, I'm all alone, I got a plan for myself. I think the last time I was here, we spoke about from lesson 135, if I defend myself, I'm attacked. There's six paragraphs there, six paragraphs in a row, from paragraph 11 through 17. It's all about a healed mind doesn't plan. That only the mind that has a teacher of fear, thinking that it's all alone, that it must plan for itself, it must do for itself, it must survive by itself. It doesn't want to be hurt. It doesn't invite that which it doesn't like into its life. So it must build fences, which is another word for defenses. And defenses are nothing more than defenses against the truth. You can't build a fence when, as a matter of fact, what is all-encompassing has no opposite. So love, which is all-encompassing, when it says, I am created I am not a body. I am free. I am still as love created me. So, it's who was my teacher during all this time. And the only thing that's really happening when I say I place the future in the hands of God is I'm giving total trust to the love of God. So many places in this course it says, I am sustained by the love of God. Lesson number 50. I'm under no laws but the laws of God. Lesson number 76. Now, I accept all of that as true. I've always accepted it as true. In fact, that next paragraph in lesson 135, after the six paragraphs of Do Not Plan, says, what could you not accept? It's really about our willingness to accept the truth. It says, what could you not accept if you but knew that everything that seems to happen, all events, past, present, and to come being the future, you know, I place the future in the hands of God, is gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good. So, am I really changing anything by saying I'm not in charge anymore? I was listening to Cheryl Kaplan's here in the room. She was here last night along with Lynn Johnson and Walter Davis and Barrett Hedin talking about the September conference coming up, which I'll be at here in Stony Point, New York. And I heard her say, you know, I was going through all this anxiety and fear, and yeah, it was only about 4 or 5 months ago she was like, you know, being evicted from her home. She was homeless. She didn't have a place to stay. She had all this stuff going on. She says, you know, I'm just going to turn it over to Spirit. And, of course, those who know the story, she was here telling the story. Of course, now she is probably the chief chef and gourmet manager of Quincy House, where Vicky Poppy basically runs a house for many fortunate, lucky kids from around the world who come to have Vicky and now Cheryl heading up the house and receiving all that love. Just a few short months ago, she was homeless and has totally guided her to the perfect place. Wow. I mean, is that what happens when you place the future in the hands of God? I heard her say, you know, I'm not in charge anymore. I don't have that anxiety anymore. I said, oh, yeah, I check in every now and then, check in every day, see what guidance says. But I don't have to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic anymore, you know. You know, everything is perfect exactly the way it is, and I'll be perfectly guided. And that's so true for all of us. So I was looking at the word trust this past week. And a lot of you know that I say that probably that's what the course is really about, is developing total trust. But total trust is 100% trust, and we've said that so many times here. It's not 99% or 99.99. Because if it's not total, you can be sure the ego is still in charge. Because only the ego says, well, I'll decide, you know, to trust either God or myself. You know, I'm not going to completely let go, because then I might not survive. I've got to survive. You know, I've got to hold on, right? Well, actually, the ego is never in charge except by our request. We are not the figure in the dream. We are the dreamer of the dream. And we can choose once again a different teacher. In fact, that's the only thing that we can do in this world. For those people who were there on that wonderful weekend that Regina, a whole bunch of people, Lynn Johnson, a whole bunch of people went down to Temecula to hear Ken Wapnick. He spoke about his two favorite lessons. Lesson number 5, I'm never upset for the reason, I think. In lesson 34, I can choose peace instead of this. We spend most of the time speaking about lesson number 5. In lesson number 5, I'm never upset for the reason I think. As Ken speaks about his favorite lesson, he says, you know, the only reason we're ever afraid, we're ever anxious, we're ever depressed, is I've chosen a teacher of depression and anxiety and fear who thinks that it needs to build fences and defenses and blockages. And I listen to that voice. He says, but I can choose again. I can choose again. I'm not the figure in the dream. I'm the dreamer of the dream. And the easiest thing to do is to say, God is the strength in which I trust. I place the future in God and completely let go. And I can tell you from my own experience that completely letting go is not easy. It takes practice, practice, practice. In fact, if you read the part in the teacher's manual under trust, which is section 4, the 10 characteristics of God's teachers, even when you get up to step number 5, it says this step alone can take a very long, long time. But that's all there really is to do in this world. I really need do nothing unless I think I need do something. I'm really not the doer. And that is such a release, such freedom. It's a release from all judgment, because only the doer thinks it has to judge this or that. What I like and what I don't like. Who I like and who I don't like. And once you get caught up in that, it really becomes insane. There's really no way out of that. There's really no way out of that. It's a vicious cycle. Somewhere, sooner or later, you come to the place and say, there must be another way. There must be another way. And the only way is to remember the truth. The truth is, I was never in charge. I only thought I was. As I thought I was, I thought I needed to plan for my own survival, to get what it is that I thought I didn't have, to compare myself with others, to defend against attack. Of course, from that teacher, which is the teacher of denial, teacher of terror, it's very dark. It really is. Jesus says, don't ask me to go where you are. Don't ask me to do anything for you in the darkness. Come stand where I am. Come stand in the light. Come stand in the light is simply to let go of thinking that I have anything to do with anything at all. I am not the doer. I simply need do nothing. This is the one idea that will come to all just before they enter the holy instant. Let me be still for an instant and go home. It can happen in every instant of the day when I realize that I'm not in charge. I can have my meditation all day and all night in my waking dreams and in my nighttime dreams. I'm always one with the love of God. As it happened this morning, I saw something that Reverend Myron Jones posted. It was a 5-minute audio on today's lesson 194, and I listened to it, and it's done by Hal Tipper. Some of you may know Hal. He was one of the early teachers of the course, and I played it, and I thought it was so succinct and so clear that I really wanted to play it right here. And I asked Lynn if she would play it, and I said, well, maybe I'll just play it from here, and let me see if I can do that. Lynn, do you have it to do? Because I have to change my settings, which is okay. I don't mind changing my settings. It'll take a second. So Lynn says that you can play it. Very good. So Lynn, I'm going to turn it over to you so you can play the 5-minute audio, which I think you'll find a very powerful light being shown on I Place the Future in the Hands of God and all the benefits and all the rewards that come to you when you do. So without further ado, turning this mic over to you, Lynn, and then we'll be back. Lynn will then go into playing some music, as we do ask if anyone would like to donate to Awakening Together. It would be a time for doing that. And so right now, 5 minutes of listening to Hal Tipper, and then some music, and I'll be back in about 10 minutes from now. And we'll have anybody wants to share anything, any questions. We have a lot of time ahead of us. Thank you so much.
ACIM Insights Lesson 214. Review. I am not a body. I am free. I am still as God created me. I place the future in the hands of God. Placing the future in the hands of God is the same as placing my trust in God instead of the ego. It is giving my life to God and letting the Holy Spirit write the script instead of letting the script be written by the voice of fear and separation, the ego. This life of separation is a dream in truth. There is no past and there is no future. The ego thought system always wants to make time appear to be real. It does this by projecting a future that is based on the past. The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, knows that there is no past and there is no future. The Holy Spirit guides us all to extend love now. The Holy Spirit knows of only wholeness or oneness, now and forever. Placing my future in the hands of love will bring me only the experience of love, the experience of my true self. Because only love is real, the only thing I can experience in truth is love. If I want something else, I will experience something else, but that does not make that experience real. The only thing I ever choose between is love and illusions. That which I desire, I will experience because of the power of my mind. Today my practice is to open my mind to God, to love, and God will do the rest. That is how I place the future in the hands of God. What is my choice today? What I choose, I will experience. To choose love, I need only remember to open my mind to the awareness of love's presence. I need but ask myself, what is really the truth? What I ask for, I will receive. Today I practice opening my mind to love, to God. What could be a better choice? This is the choice for happiness. This is the choice for letting go of pain and vulnerability. This is the choice for true power and the choice to let go of belief in weakness. Today I place the future in the hands of God. The ego does not trust the future. It believes the future will repeat the past, and the past has taught that nothing is reliable. Everything changes and will not last. Since the ego is the rejection of God, it definitely does not trust God. So the ego is always in a catch-22 situation. It does not want the past to be repeated, but it believes that the future will be like the past. because the ego believes only in its own insane thought system. It cannot trust anything from outside that thought system, and so it seems to be trapped in an endless cycle of insanity. Today we are given the means to step out of the cycle. We need only place the future in God's hands, and the cycle of insanity is broken. Putting the future in God's hands takes a heavy burden off our minds. We no longer need to spend our time making plans to protect ourselves from 1,000 different eventualities. We are free to experience the presence fully. Without concern for the future, we no longer need to dwell on the past, because the past is not here when I stop dwelling on it. I no longer need to bring it with me, and so it is gone. The present moment is clean and pure, free of the false images of the past. Now I am able to see love and nothing else, because love is all there is to see. When I place the future in God's hands, my step is light, my heart is filled with joy, defenses are laid down, and I embrace my brother who is one with me.
May it be an evening star shines down upon you. May it be when darkness falls, your heart will be true. You walk alone.
Oh.
All right. Thank you so much, Lynn, for playing that beautiful music and also for playing that five-minute audio from Hal Tipper on Lesson 214. And, you know, I thought he said it so well, and I did want to share it with all present. And I hope you also use this time to send in a donation if your heart is open to that. If you're listening on the radio, there is a you just go to awakening-together.org, and there's a menu at the top. It's the right-hand side of the menu. It says donate if you want to do that, and we would certainly appreciate it. We appreciate anything that you would like to contribute to Awakening Together, always. And yes, what does awakening and together have in common? They're the same. Awakening is the recognition, the realization that we are all together as one. I was reminded also that today's reading, which is mentioned so many times, you know, in so many places in A Course of Miracles, but especially in something which just came to my attention thanks to Lynn Johnson. She brought it to my attention 4 or 5 months ago. It comes from Chapter 4, Section 1, the right thinking and right learning. And in the last paragraph, 13, this is what the author says. And it's the same thing as surrender. It's the same thing as surrender. And by the way, I'm really thank you so much for mentioning that Michael Singer's new book is The Surrender Experiment. And you know, after writing such a prolific, prodigious book like The Untethered Soul, which so many people use as literally a wonderful guidance reference tool in their repertoire of a source book. And their problem-solving repertoire, that his next book is the surrender experiment, which really leads right into this, what I'm about to read from A Course in Miracles. This is what the author says. I will substitute for your ego if you wish. I will substitute for your ego if you wish, but never for your spirit. A father can safely leave a child with an elder brother who has shown himself responsible, but this involves no confusion about the child's origin. The brother can protect the child's body and his ego, but he does not confuse himself with the father because he does this. I can be entrusted with your body and your ego only because this enables you not to be concerned with them and lets me teach you their unimportance. I like that key word, unimportant. So the things that we dwell on all day and we use our mind, we keep our mind busy, and the ego doesn't care about what you think about as long as you busy out your mind. But none of it really means anything. Lesson number one, nothing I see here means anything unless you give it meaning. And then if you give things meany, your mind will be busy. And yes, you won't really have time for the peace of God, which is really why we're here. So the only thing I really need to do is to let go. And that does take practice, like I said. It doesn't happen overnight. But there's really nothing else for us to do here because we are already what we are looking for. The ego's mantra is seek and do not find. And we're here to remember that we don't have to seek for what we are. We already are as love created. We are the love of God. I am sustained by the love. I am the love. There's nothing to seek. Except in a world of illusion, you'll be busy for a very long, long time doing all kinds of things. And at the end, it's always the same. I need do nothing. Okay, we have about 10 more minutes. I'd like to ask anyone who feels so inclined to maybe share anything that you heard today that inspired you, any questions, anything at all that you'd like to share. And this is being recorded. It'll be available later. I think they play here later this afternoon. So please do use this time for sharing anything. I've seen a number of Lynn put up on the board that very famous sentence I just read. That's a Freudian slip. I can be entrusted with your body and your ego only because this enables you not to be concerned with them and lets me teach you their unimportance. Yeah. You see, the idea is if I'm here to survive, then the ego has to be my teacher because the ego is the teacher of survival. It's talking about its own survival, by the way. It's not talking about your survival. It's talking about its survival. It wants to hang out. You know, it wants to live forever. It wants to know God. That isn't quite possible simply because the ego doesn't trust God. I mean, it's just that simple. Ego only trusts itself. So you can't trust or love what you don't appreciate. So the only way that I'm going to appreciate what I am and what God is and that we are one is to let go of the teacher that teaches that you have to do things. If any of this makes any sense to anyone or anyone wants to share anything, you know, we all have things that go on. I see Lynn's hand is up. Lynn, thank you so much. This mic is all yours.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dove, and thank you everyone here. It really, I need do nothing. This really is it's not just a subtle hint that if you just let go that everything should be and perfect. All things be exactly as they are. We're not swimming in the sea of synchronicity because there's no swimming involved. There's nothing necessary for me to do except just to be and let go. And when I let go, I'm being carried and things happen in perfect synchronicity. That synchronicity is when time all comes together in one place. It is synced up and it becomes just everything and all. It's just a perfect thing. And you see it in your life. I see it in my life every day, all day. When I resist, then I'm trying to swim and, you know, I'm going to go against the tide. When I allow and just float and flow, everything happens beautifully. Yesterday, I had a watermelon in my refrigerator and it was taking up too much room and I thought, I better take that watermelon out and cut it up and put it, so that there's more room in the fridge. So I took the watermelon out, I had a big container, and there was more watermelon than would go in the container. I had just too much. And my daughter came and she said, we're going out, we're going to a party, and we have to stop by the store and pick up something to take because I don't have anything to take with me to the party. And I said, wait a minute. And I got a bowl and I filled it up with watermelon and put foil over and I said, here you go. It was perfect. It was perfect. It was the time. It was the what they needed. And it was, I didn't have more watermelon than I needed. I had just exactly. That's how it happens. You don't have to try. You don't have to ponder, oh, what am I going to do? You just do what comes. And when you do what comes, it happens perfectly. Everything is perfect. And so, you know, what this course is teaching us is that you can let Jesus just do it. Let him substitute for you. Let the Holy Spirit carry you. And if you think you have to try, that's ego. Ego is the one who tries things. Spirit just lets things be. And when you let things be exactly as they are, everything is exactly as it is. Perfect. So thank you, Dove, for this wonderful topic today. And thank you. Happy birthday, Regina. Thank you for having a birthday today. So happy. Dove, the mic is yours.
All right. Thank you for that, Lynn. And we're all born on the perfect day, and there's a lesson for every day that of the 365 days, and Later, if anyone wants to know the lesson on the day that they were born, I'm glad to give that out. We won't use the next 5 minutes for that. We can do that in the next hour if you wish, or somebody can contact me by private message. I'll give you the lesson for the day of the year that you were born. All I need is the month and the day. Iris says, yes, all I need is the month and the day, and I'll be glad to do it, but won't do that right this moment. I also just want to also invite anyone. Today we're going to cross 20,000 members at Open Minds on Facebook, 20,000 members. We started literally 4 or 5 years ago. We call Open Minds for ACIM and NTI, NTI, of course, being Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, as described by Regina Dawn Akers. And if you're not already a member and you are on Facebook, please do join. You'll be one of the people that cross over the 20,000. We're going to do it today. We have only another 23 members to go, and we'll be at 20,000. So if you're not already a member, please do join. Lynn already knows her birthday lesson. I'm blessed as a son of God. And I think if you take a look at the lesson that of the day that you were born, you'll see something there for you. I've been doing this for many, many, many years, you know, maybe more than 30 years now. And the people who get to see what their lesson is say, wow, this really resonates with me. And so we can do that later. My own birthday lesson, I have two, 132 and 133. I wasn't born on two different days, but I was born on a leap year, so I take my leap year as 133. I will not value what is valueless. What's valuable belongs to me, and that's really what we've been saying here all morning long. You are the Holy Son of God, and you will not have certainty of it until you let go of the teacher of uncertainty. You know, there's two places in this course that speaks to me of certainty. I'm sure that certainty or certain and certainty must be used 500 times. I don't know. Somebody can look it up. But the two places where it speaks to me so clearly is where it says, you know, God's guaranteed to you that no obstacles will bar your way, no stones to trip you up. The path will be made smooth and straight. This is a guarantee given to you by God. It doesn't rest on contingency. It rests on you. For what can be more certain than a son of God? So it comes out of our certainty. When you can trust with certainty, with full confidence, as you place the future in the hands of God, you have certainty. You're not at 99.99. You're totally certain and confident that you are God's holy son. The word synchronicity has been used here two or three times. Certainly Lynn mentioned it. I saw Regina mention it. I saw Phil mention it. And I've been saying that for a very long time. My certainty that God is with me all the time, is the synchronicity. At first, many years ago, maybe it happened once a month, and then once a week, and then once a day. And now I literally feel that I live in a sea of synchronicity, in a sea of synchronicity within an ocean of love. That no matter where I turn, it's always there, something is given to me, for me, to be shared with all. That's my experience. That's how you can have certainty, is to know that God is with you all the time. The other place where certainty speaks to me, the word certain, is in lesson 156. I walk with God in perfect holiness. At the end, in italics, it says, ask 1,000 times a day until you are certain who walks with me. Ask 1,000 times a day until you're certain. Somebody pointed out to me, if you ask 1,000 times a day, who walks with me, it'll take you 16 hours a day. You have no time for anything else. I said, yeah, but you didn't read the whole sentence. Read it again. It says, until you're certain. Once you're certain, you never have to ask again. You never have to ask again. Thank you all for being here. What a wonderful honor, privilege. Thank you so much, Regina, for being our reader today, for sure. Thank you for awakening together, for all the blessings. And I thank Jesus, the Holy Spirit. God is the strength in which I trust. I place the future in the hands of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, and thank you so much, Dove.